Living with Madeline. Living with Madeline. Living with Madeline. Madeline. Living with Madeline.
Hello, welcome to another bonus episode of the podcast Living with Madeline. Usually a TV-based podcast, but these are the bonus episodes where we go outside our realm. My name's Andrew, and I'm joined by Leonardo da Vinci. How's things?
Very good. Very, very good. Yeah. Bit of an odd one, this, weren't it? It's
tough.
Hard to define, and it'll be very original to the person. So I don't really think you can tell anyone it's wrong if it's a guilty pleasure. If it's something they enjoy that they think... It's hard, isn't it? Because I, as we said, I'm not quite so guilty about some of mine, but we've tried to stick to a criteria.
Yeah, so...
The criteria, do you want to try and summarise it?
Yeah, so the criteria is essentially... The way I was thinking about it is, I'm picking someone up, a new starter at work or something like that, or I'm at university and a girl's got, you know... I'm taking a girl somewhere and I've got my shuffle on, my starred songs on shuffle, and this comes on. And I'd go, oh, I might have to explain why I've got this on.
Yeah, you feel like you either try and skip it quickly, or you feel like you might have to justify why that's on your track list.
Yeah. And I looked at top 100 guilty pleasures and stuff like that. And to me, most of these guilty pleasures lists aren't guilty pleasures. You know, I was going to, Phil Collins is in there, Against All Odds. I won't be guilty. I won't feel guilty about that. There's Waiting for a Star to Fall. Brilliant song. Like, it's just genuinely good songs. That might be a little bit cheesy. I'm not classing it as a guilty pleasure, but the five I've picked are five songs where if it were on in a car, I'd have to say, oh, by the way, I've got this on because of this, or you know what I mean?
So, yeah, I've kind of added a caveat. You kind of mentioned it there, but because right now it wouldn't bother me any of these songs at all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so what I'm thinking though is when I was maybe 18, 19, if I was off to uni and trying to kind of establish myself as a bit of a cool customer.
What a tough character, like big man around campus.
No, just sort of not the sort of, oh, is that the guy who likes a lot of the cheesy sort of Euro pop? Like I want to be known as a bit cooler than that, I think, when I was going. So I'm trying to think back at that moment in time of my life, would I have kind of wanted people around me to know that these were songs I enjoyed?
Yeah. Well, another thing is that a lot of people have sent us, they're already sent us suggestions in. So we're going to do a bonus episode where we talk about the mysteries and the suggestions, like what people have put in. So we're not going to mention any of them now because it'll go on for ages, but keep sending them in, your guilty pleasures.
Yeah, good feedback on the mysteries one, actually, weren't it?
Yeah. And we'll go through them and we'll say if we agree guilty pleasure or not. Right, I started, I think, mysteries. So do you want to start with your first guilty pleasure, Liam?
Okay, we've not really discussed too much what we're going to do with these. Are we playing a clip of each one?
Yeah, we'll play a little clip of each one. So because there might be some people who have not heard them. So
before we say what each one is, then we'll play the clip. And if you know it and like it, then it's... well, no, because then it's not your guilty pleasure. I'm not going to over-explain it. It is the clip. Do you believe in life and love? So, what do you think?
It's not one of my favourite songs or anything. This is where that the voice thing is like so renowned, isn't it? You know, the belief.
Yeah, so you've taken one of my small bits of research on the song. So,
oh, really? That's what I first always remember. If someone says that song, I think it's the first song I remember. Is it? I don't know if it is vocoder. I don't know. Like, where they sort of, you know, electronic voice sort of thing.
So, yeah, it featured a pioneering use of the audio process software AutoTune to distort rock. So rather than previously where AutoTune had corrected vocals, it was deliberately done to distort, and it became known as the Cher effect.
Why did they do it? Could you just not hit the note? Or it like, oh, now that sounds pretty cool.
No, they just wanted to, it kind of turns the voice into an instrument, doesn't it? It's like a synthesized, mm-hmm. They do it a lot in songs these days. But no, I think it's brilliant. Genuinely think it's absolutely brilliant. I don't like a lot of Cher songs. I don't love a voice, if I'm honest, in some things, but this particular song.
Yeah, electronic voice, this one, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but honestly, I think it's brilliant. I absolutely love this song.
I don't know. I think, like, it annoys me, to be honest. Like, that chorus annoys me. I don't think it's a bad song. I'd like it if it didn't have the... Why? I just can't get me around it. Like, I believe... Like, why everyone thought, fucking hell, yeah, that's amazing. That stays in. I know you get it now. There's loads of Kanye West stuff and all that sort of stuff. Has got, like, you know, his voice goes, but he can't sing, whereas Cher can. Like, so, I don't know.
Yeah, they just wanted to make it a bit electro, didn't they? Just do something with it. I think...
it's only that one line in it.
Do you believe?
Believe.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's done really well, this song. I think possibly this is the most successful out of all my choices. It topped the charts in 23 countries and it sold 11 million copies.
Wow.
It's her biggest single to date, fifth number one. And yeah, I mean, it's... I don't think a guilty pleasure needs to not be a major hit. I think possibly that could be one of the criteria. If it's a song that didn't go down well, it's a bit hard to have a guilty pleasure when it's so good.
It's when you think of this other way then. So I'm sat in your car, I've never met you. You're giving me a lift somewhere, like, oh, this new starter, you know, and I've got in car and you've got this blasting out.
So now if you got in, I'd turn it up. But when I think if I was like 18, 19, you got in, I might think, no, sorry, I've just been listening to Oasis and that one's come on.
But what I mean is, like, so you can do this for mine. I'm sat there. What would I think? I'd be thinking you've probably got Absolute Radio on. I wouldn't be thinking you've actually chose to play this song.
But at the moment where you realised this was my playlist, what would you think? Would you think, what the fuck are you listening to that for?
I would think it's a bit odd because I don't think anyone's chosen to listen to this song since the day it came out. I think the only time anyone's ever heard this song is on radio. I don't know if anyone's ever put...
What would you think if I was singing along to it and know every lyric?
What if you've been like the electronic thing?
If I had a voice distorter in the car.
That'd be amazing. Reminds me, there was an adult animation out years ago called House of Rock. And it were like, I think it were Biggie Smalls, Freddie Mercury, Mark Bolan. They all lived in this. They're all dead and they were in limbo. And... Freddie Mercury got taken over by the spirit of a DJ. And he just kept singing, I want to praise you like I should. Like that all the time. Reminds me of that.
Final bit on this one. I didn't know how much you wanted to do the facts and stats, so I've not got much. It was released October 1998, and it's from the...
A bit later. I thought it was a bit later, actually.
No, and it's from the album I Don't Know, because I didn't write it down.
Forget, fair enough. Right. I know you wanted to play the tunes first, but a bit of background on mine. It's a Suggs song, right? And I know people are thinking, Suggs is cool, man. Madness. You know what I mean? He's a good guy. But this is the most ashamed I think I'd be if I was with somebody and this came on, because this is the FA Cup final song for Chelsea in 1997. I'll play a clip here. So, if I were a stranger and this came on, I wouldn't want people thinking I'm a fucking Chelsea fan. Do you know what I mean? But I love this song. I think this song's brilliant. We've talked about this privately before. You're not a fan of this song. I think with proper lyrics, this would have been a fantastic Madness single.
I really don't like the song, but I absolutely think it fits Guilty Pleasures because, yeah, it's a rival. Well, they're not a rival, are they? But they're another team. Particularly, I mean, around that age, did we have a season ticket around about that age?
Yeah, I think we will have. Yeah, 97.
So, yeah, probably wouldn't, even more reason why you would have, I think you definitely feel you'd have to justify this. Yeah, I think it absolutely fits.
And it is on my style songs on Spotify because I think it's brilliant. I still sing this. I think it's one of the most catchy songs ever. I'll walk around place going, Chelsea, Chelsea. And I have to stop myself thinking, fucking, I can't be singing that. People, like, walking to Bramall Lane and stuff, thinking Chelsea, we're gonna make it a blue day. Yeah, so that's the reason I've gone for it. But I really, really, really like this song, and I think if it had just made it about London, just generalized like he normally does with his songs.
Yeah.
I do think it would have been like a big hit for him. This is when he were having his hits with Cecilia. Remember Cecilia?
Yeah. I mean, you put kind of on the radar something with me for this, which I didn't end up having, but obviously I mentioned it previously. My dad's a Man United fan. I watch a lot of their games, kind of second team. I know you're not supposed to have one, but I love Blue Moon, the song, but obviously it's a City song. So yeah. I did consider that, and I think you're right, it fits.
Yeah, because I was thinking, as I picked this, I thought, is there any Sheffield Wednesday chants that, you know, I really, really don't like? That I really like a song, should I say, but they're in because...
What about that? You don't love that, do you? Zigzag, Zigzag, Chesterfield.
What the hell's that?
I don't know if this is ever sing this or not, but a kid at school that I used to know...
No, Zigzag,
Zigzag, he was convinced that were a Chesterfield song. Zigzag, Zigzag, Chesterfield.
Do any Chesterfield fans in, please let us know, because I didn't know. Just one more thing, well, two more things on this. Chelsea actually won the cup final this year, which is the first trophy since 1971. This is when everything changed for them. They started becoming like dominant, and probably spurred on by the song, actually. Suggs has sang this live at Stamford Bridge fairly recently, actually. And if you're watching the video, watch the video and just keep an eye on Dennis Wise. I don't think anyone's ever been so happy to be on a music video. He's so massive grin. So on the video, it's all the players. You've got Zola playing piano. Vial is there. Frank LeBouf looking very serious. But yeah, my first one, Suggs.
Yeah, good choice. Well, it's not a good choice, but it's a good guilty pleasure. I like it.
Yeah.
Next one, I'm going to play my clip again first.
Dr. Jones, yeah, we used to sing it to our mate Russell Jones, didn't we?
Yeah, that's not why I've had it, but I did used to make me laugh singing to him, Russell Jones, yeah. Russell Jones. But this was a late switch, so you know this, but the listener doesn't. Yeah. So I was going to have Turn Back Time by Aqua. But brilliant. When I started looking into it, it actually seems it's really well kind of critically acclaimed almost. It's really well thought of, even sort of now. So I thought, I'm not sure that's a guilty pleasure, really. And that is a really good song. This is a novelty record. This is a bit more ludicrous. Released in October 97. Again, I think if you got in the car and this was on and the radio was on, I don't think you'd think anything of it. But I do think if this was on my playlist at the time, I'd probably have to say something like, I really like Turn Back Time, and this is just another one that's being added on. I think, yeah. I'm not sure at the time I would have liked the idea of people me thinking, I-B-I-E-A-E-I-B-I-O.
I'm not a fan of this one. I think it's too ridiculous. You think this is better than Barbie Girl, then?
Yeah, I do, actually, yeah.
I mean, I don't think these are bad songs, by the way, Barbie Girl. Obviously, they're a joke song, but it's quite...
I think Barbie Girl was really iconic, actually. And
yeah,
I think
quite it's clever in a way. Come on, Barbie, let's go. Not that bit, obviously. Come on,
I mean,
Barbie.
I don't think it probably does any harm that she's really pretty, the lead singer. I think that's probably a bonus for it. I can't remember her name now.
It's Astrid or something.
No, it's something like... I don't want to say it, get it wrong. Not sure. I thought I made a note of it.
Didn't. I'll have a look as you're talking. Go on.
Yeah, so it was the fourth single from the debut album, Aquarium, and it followed up their most successful song, Barbie Girl. The video is slightly ludicrous. They're like explorers, and they get captured by a tribe. And then for some reason, the bold guy who just does the shouting sort of pops up, and then everybody's dancing. Then like,
he's a funny man. Where did I get Astrid from? Her name's Renee. Renee's the man. Sorry. She's Lenny. Is that right?
Lena, is it?
Lena. Where did I get Astrid from? It's not even a name.
Yeah, there is. No, but there is. Is it? Wishfield weren't called Astrid, was she, or something like that?
I'm not sure. It sounds like a Norwegian. But first up, by the way, I spelled Aqua wrong and put Squad in, and he said lead singer with Terry Hall from Special. Imagine him. Stop your messing around. He couldn't do that easy, though, could he? Come on, party. Let's go party. Ba, 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 yeah.
So this actually did really well across Europe. I mean, it didn't get to number one in a lot of countries, but it got sort of top 10 in most of the ones I'm looking at, like the full list, actually. It's like... I mean, you can see it, can't you? It's Europop. It's quite cheesy Europop. You can see why it would do well across Europe. Yeah, it's a novelty song. There's some ridiculous bits in it, like some of the lyrics are ridiculous. But I genuinely think it's a really, really good song. I still listen to it to this day.
Fair play, fair play. Aqua, I'm glad they got one in there. Right, this is my next one.
I'm glad you've had this, because almost when we first talked about it, I thought this should be your guilty pleasure song, but I weren't sure if you'd sort of be too cool to say that it's guilty pleasure.
Girlfriend, Billy Piper, if people don't know, 1998, number one, the follow-up to the much more famous, Because We Want To, and from the album Honey to the Bee, which were another single, Honey to the Bee, that's due.
That was ridiculous, that, wasn't it?
Chris Brown tried to get that back in charts about 10 years ago.
There's something about sort of the rhythm and the lyrics that I find ridiculous, like Honey to the Bee. It's like he's trying to be quite bluesy, but it just sounds ridiculous.
So
this song, yeah, we may have mentioned this before. The reason why I think you should have this song is because you kind of actually did what the criteria is. So we went to our mate Damon's house, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, something like that. And we had a FIFA or a Pro Evo, whatever it was at the time, tournament. And we ended up staying over, me and you. And he'd gone up to bed and we were sleeping on the sofa in the armchair and we were just putting random songs on the TV early hours of the morning. And I think you played this 3 times in a row. Yeah. And I was like, why do we keep having to listen to this? And you said, oh, it's brilliant. I said, yeah, but we haven't listened to any of the other ones like on repeat. Why? And you just said, honestly, there's just a bit in it that I find brilliant.
Yeah.
You were sort of like half asleep, half drunk, and just loving this particular bit of a song.
Yeah, play it now. So the verse is pretty much standard, mediocre, manufactured pop fare. And then the chorus just explodes. I think the chorus is really good. Like, do you have a girlfriend? We're looking real. It's very much like, do I want to? But that bit where it goes, we can spend some time. It's just like, it lowers it. It takes it into a more serious place, I think. One thing that I've never realized this before until we did this and I listened back. I'm not going to play it again, but you can listen back. Did you notice how she said girlfriend? She says girlfriend. She definitely says golf friend. I think that's... Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
You're looking real cool.
I didn't know.
And there's another lyric where I looked at the lyrics because I thought he said, you're kissing me the way that you do. And I thought that's a weird way of singing it. But she doesn't say that. She goes, you're kissing me in ways I can tell. No. Right. I'm going to play that bit. Sorry, there's a lot of clips for this one. It definitely sounds like she's saying, I don't know what she's, just a weird way of singing it. Anyway, here's the clip. Yeah, so it's called Girlfriend anyway, which again I think adds some more depth. It's obviously about, I don't know, someone who we're in Gulf War, like talking about.
It's called Girlfriend.
No, it's obviously called Girlfriend, but I think it's a hidden message from Billy. Do you have a girlfriend? So a bit of facts about Billy. She became the youngest ever act to debut at number one with Because We Want To, which is a record still to this day, which I'm surprised about because. You know what I mean? Like with 14-year-olds, she weren't that young. I think she was like 16 or whatever.
What about like Michael Jackson in the 70s and the Osmonds and stuff like that?
Not ever to debut with the first single.
Okay, I get you, yeah. So debut single gets to number one.
Yeah, and the same team who created the track were also responsible for this one, Girlfriend, which was actually a cover, which I sent to you, didn't I? I was really surprised by this. Girlfriend is a cover song by a band called First Class, an R&B group, for their album Strictly Rolling. I'm not even going to play their version of it because it's exactly the same as this, isn't it?
Yeah, it blew my mind a little bit, that this was already... But were they singing Do You Have a Boyfriend?
No, they were singing Do You Have a Girlfriend? It's a girl group.
Ah, right, okay.
And the only bit that's different, funnily enough, is we can spend some time. And they do the R&B thing where they, but they go, we can spend some time. Do you know what
they,
I mean? Like
they
that.
Used the share trick, didn't they?
Yeah, they tried to show off the voices on that bit, and Piper didn't bother with that. So there's two different versions of Girlfriend, by the way. So if you're listening to this thinking, bloody hell, what's that? That's amazing. Make sure you listen to the single version, because the album version is quite different. But you might not like it, because I genuinely couldn't find a single good review anywhere on the internet for this song. And I genuinely was searching and searching and searching. Old reviews, new reviews, people talking about it on forums, nothing.
I never liked it, if I'm honest. Yeah, I never really got it.
I saw one review that said, it's very much like Peter Andre in that he's professional songwriters trying to be cool and ended up with a supermarket own brand of R&B, clumpy and thin. Which to me is a bit classist, because for one, Sainsbury's beans are definitely nicer than Heinz beans. I don't know if you agree with that, but
yeah, I certainly don't disagree. Yeah, I'm not going to fall out about it.
Yeah, and the only other thing I wanted to mention is around this time she was nominated for, I think she won actually, Best Female Star at the Smash It Poll Winners Party, and she were booed. And do you know why she were booed? And she started crying as well.
Nazi salute. No, I don't know. I've got no idea.
I don't think she'd be in Doctor Who after that. But no, it's because she was going out with Richie Neville from Five. Remember him?
All right. So what, were Evans after this then?
Yeah. So she's had a string of boyfriends. This.
Hold on. How old was she? 14 at this time?
I don't know. She might have been about 17 by this point. But I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, but she went out with Richie Neville, and all obviously the Five fans were booing her because he was like the sex symbol. I was remembering the Mirror. I don't know if you remember this. Me and Brendan used to talk about it a lot. Richie Neville always used to be referred to in like the celeb gossip pages as Five Hard Man, Richie Neville. Every single time he were like talked about.
No, he weren't the hard man. There was another
one.
Yeah,
honestly, I'm telling you, he was always labelled as Five Hard Man, Richie Neville.
No. Well,
I know what you were on about, the big guy, but I'm definitely not.
I think the one who was a bit older who was supposed to like thought it was a bit of an hard case, but I always thought he was like the boy next door Neville, like the sort of. He always sort of really over-enhanced his eyes. He always used to have, like, big, shiny eyes.
Five Hard Man, I'm telling you. That's what it used to be called. If anyone else, 3 a.m. Remember the 3 a.m. girls? It were them. I'm sure it were them. But, yeah, so that's my... That is a fantastic song by Billy Piper that he seems like only I in the country like.
Okay, right. Let's move on to my number three. Maybe this is the best song on my list. I'll play the clip.
Get away. For a while, here I am, out on my own again. Won't blame it on myself. Yeah, I'll blame it on the weatherman standing on the shore, calling out your name. I was here before.
This is a fantastic song. This is Blame It On The Weatherman by Bewitched. Now, for some reason, I kind of get it. They were kind of a bit of a novelty act, weren't they? Because they were very sort of I don't know if they were manufactured or not. They were considered a manufactured band. They were very sort of overly Irish, like in a sense that every time they were interviewed, it a big thing about this is the Irish band. And I don't think they kind of got the credit they deserved. I think they actually could sing, and I think they did a couple of good songs. But I think this song is brilliant. And if I read you the comment from the video on YouTube, the top comment, I've not looked down through any of the others, but not being funny, but if ABBA or the Beatles had recorded this song, then it'd be considered one of the greatest pop songs ever, pop gold.
Yeah, fair enough. Just before you're on about the manufacturing stuff, I don't think they were manufactured, but you know there's two sisters in the band.
Yeah.
Their brother is Shane from Boyzone.
That rings a bell. And that got mentioned a lot, and I think people kind of said, all right, don't hear, because the brother's famous. And yeah, I mean, it got to UK number one, and it got Ireland, it only got to number eight, so they weren't buying into him.
Because he's probably too Irish for the Irish, if you know what I mean. It's like, because like obviously the bigger song than this is C'est La Vie, and Fight Like My Dad as well. It's unbelievably Irish. It's like, and I do, and they even put the river dance thing into that, didn't they? Like that,
but this is it. I think they were, maybe not manufactured as a band, but manufactured as a kind of a this is what they are as a brand, and they were, you know, they were sort of pushed down a route that they've been, people would have been better just getting them to do more singing because they could actually sing. I mean, it wasn't a massive hit. This 1999, it was released, this particular song.
They come back, haven't they? I'm sure they reformed. They might have just been one of those. By the way, did you see who wrote this song? I want to just type this into Wikipedia.
Let me just check on my notes. Songwriters. Ray Madman Hedges.
Yeah, who's he? Ray Madman Hedges wrote this song.
Martin Branigan, Tracy Ackerman, Andy Kane, and
Andy
Ray.
Kane. I thought he said Andy Crane at first.
Ray Madman Hedges.
Ray Madman Hedges.
Imagine if you, if I said to you, I've got a songwriter and he's called Ray Madman Hedges. How much would you not expect it to be this song? Don't blame it on the weatherman.
Apparently he's had over 60 top 20 singles. He's worked with The Struts, Westlife, Boyzone, Bewitched, Towers of London, Lil Chris, Take That, Bryan Adams, Faithless, Cher, Clannad, Tom Jones, Daniel Bedingfield, Boy George, Ronan Keating, Emma Bunton, Anton Deck, Dizzy Rascal and James Corden.
It's all right, mixing it.
Yeah, Ray Madman Hedges. What a fucking name that is.
Yeah, I've not really got loads more to add. I mean, it's perhaps one of them now. If you don't remember it, give it a listen, and you'll be surprised sort of how good it was and how it didn't really get any credit. I mean, I'm saying that, it got to number one in the UK, so clearly people did like it. But other than that, the rest of Europe weren't interested.
Mm. And again, if I'm sat in the car with you, by the way, we didn't do this for the last one. If you're sat in the car with me or someone you didn't know and they had a girlfriend on, what would you be? Would you be giving them a wry eye?
Well, like I said, it felt to me like we were a little bit older than that university age, but you did kind of have to justify it to
me.
So,
you did.
Absolutely fits the brief, yeah.
Yeah, with this one, I think I would be thinking, I've not heard this song for fucking 20 years and it weren't even that big then. What's this guy doing? Yeah, so I think both work.
Maybe like if you saw my like island flag gear knob.
Oh, fucking course. I don't know why I didn't pick up on this.
You might just think, oh, it's just another Irish thing, you know.
Of course you've had an Irish song, yeah. Oh, yeah, and you couldn't have the Pogues, and I don't know. Well, to be honest, I mean...
Well, you haven't heard my next one yet as well, so...
Oh, anyway, this is my number three. Right, I don't like Cliff Richard, as I've said before. Bordering on eight, to be honest, with Cliff Richard. He's on that fine line of like sort of, and I don't like the guy, but is it hate? Is it proper hate?
So I don't mind the guy. I think Wired for Sound is a fantastic, fantastic song. But yeah, I absolutely get where you're coming from. You would, if you was, it's a good song, this. It absolutely is a good song. But I do think you'd be slightly embarrassed to be playing it at a certain point in your life when you're trying to meet people.
I mean, this was Richard's 10th UK number one, his first number one since Congratulations. Na, 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 na. Bit of background on the song. Alan Tawney wrote the song in 1979. We were going to use it on an album, on his own album. But after he played a demo of the song to Shadows member Bruce Welsh, Welsh instantly knew it was going to be a hit and phoned up Cliff Richard's manager, Peter Gormley, and said, there is only one person who can record this. Do you agree with that? Do you think anyone else could have recorded this?
No, I think there's countless people who could have had a hit with this song, actually, because I think it's a really good song. I think other people maybe would have had a bigger hit because Cliff, despite having a big following, it also is always sort of seen as that slight novelty act, isn't it?
Do you think, for instance, if I'd have wrote this and I said I've written a song, would you say get me the number of Cliff Richard?
There's only one man who could take this further. Yeah, I don't know, maybe.
But yeah, backing vocals by Brian Ferry, Roxy Music, by the way. So I love it. I just think it's a bit Christmassy, and maybe that's why I like it. Or maybe it reminds me of being Christmassy because it's Cliff, and I associate Cliff with Christmas. But I love it straight in with the riff of the keyboard. Down, 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 down.
Yeah, down, no, down. I think the guilty pleasure of this is the fact it's a Cliff Richard song rather than the actual song. I think the song, the melody's great, yeah.
I think Hot Chip or Future Islands someone like that, proper synth pop band, because they were a lot cooler, would murder and pillage to write a song like this, I think. The best bit in it, I think, is...
Can you imagine Pet Shop Boys or...
It's so funny. Yeah, actually. We don't talk anymore. Yeah.
Anymore. Yeah, yeah, maybe, but...
They'd probably make it a little bit better because it'd have, like, a dance beat in background. Yeah. Like, sort of... Yeah, fucking should have covered it. I think Hot Chip would be brilliant at it. Like, it's so funny. Cause he's got a high voice. The best bit is when he goes, oh, we don't talk. Like that. It's fucking brilliant. And I imagine that's a Cliff ad-lib, so I'll give him that.
It's so funny, funny, we don't talk anymore. I think that's what Hot Chip would do with it.
It's so funny now.
funny now. We don't talk anymore.
we don't. Just fucking brilliant. I was thinking about this as we were watching this song back, because I was looking at Cliff and thinking, I don't like you, as he was singing this song. Because I think he's got four decent songs. One that you mentioned, Wife of Sound, Devil Woman's All Right, and Saviour's Day, which we talked about before. Yeah. Do you think anyone in the history of music has recorded more shit than Cliff Richard?
That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, there must be people who've just been around for years and years. I mean, we've given him massive praise before, haven't we? Elton John, he's got so many hits and so many good songs, but he's also done loads of shite as well.
Yeah, but I'd say 95% of the songs Cliff Richard does are fucking really bad. That old album that we talked about, the Christmas album, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. I think this guy, if anyone can think of anyone else who's been going a lot, he's been going 140 years, Cliff Richard. If anyone's been around this long, I bet there's nobody who's put as much shit music to tape than Cliff Richard. That's why I'm proposing.
Well, yeah, and if you want to fight his case and defend him, then here's why you should.
I really need your help.
Yeah. Anyway, your next one, Liam.
My number four. So getting down the list now. So again, we mentioned the Irish thing. Here's another Irishman. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me wherever.
I don't like this one, Liam. This is the one. I can't stand this song.
So this is a song, and this probably is, like, works as a guilty pleasure. So this was released in 99. I used to be going to the gym quite a lot at this time.
Sometimes
it used to come on, like, when they just have sort of, like, smash hits on or whatever was on in the gym.
How are you doing weights to this?
But I used to sort of say to people, oh, fucking hell, not this again. But secretly, I used to think, oh, yeah, brilliant. So yeah, it fits the beat.
It's from that extra bar. Oh, I hate this song. It's like, get another thingy on this weight here. I'm feeling good. I can do another one.
It starts with him sat on a bench, sort of like grinning. And I always just think, oh, yeah, brilliant. Ronan's back. It's from the album Ronan, Notting Hill, and By Request. So,
I saw a thing recently, actually, where boys are on Live and Kicking, because obviously all I do is watch old TV on YouTube. The least charismatic man on this thing, I can't remember what it is, because I can't tell people to see it, but they've got people phoning up saying, so, Ronan, do you think you'll go solo one day? Aye, I wouldn't have thought so. That's it. It's like a bit like imagine your dad. He's quite, like, softly spoken, your dad. Like, man a few words. Like, he's a fucking pop song. Your dad's not a pop singer. Your dad's not Ronan Keating.
Not sure. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Sure.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Everyone's like that, though. Like, them two are pissing about.
It should answer every question. I've got something to tell you. Whatever anyone ever asked him.
I've got something to tell you. I think he's come on now, because I think he does, like, presenting and stuff, doesn't he, now?
I'm not sure, to be honest, yeah. But, I think it's a good song. Did well in the charts, got to UK number one. The bit that really surprised me is I thought I was at an age now where I was past those songs that come out and you think they're famous for a certain band. Like, there's a Boyzone song that's a Tracy Chapman song.
Yeah. Father and Son, All Cat Stevens.
Yeah, I thought, oh, I knew of all those now. I was never going to be caught out. I thought this was Ronan Keating's song. It's not at all. It's a country song written by Paul Overstreet and Don Schultz.
Yeah, I didn't know this myself. I've just, as you were speaking, I put it on Wikipedia. It was the first solo top. I really laughed at this because I got it wrong. So it was the first solo top 10 country hit by Francis Black, who is the lead singer out of Pixies. Imagine him singing this. When you say that,
but then, yeah, and I think that's, it's quite sort of snidey there what he did actually, didn't he? Because Ronan heard Francis Black have a hit with it in 95, so he released it in 96. It's like there's normally a gap, isn't there? He just did it the next year.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, sorry. Her version 96, his was 99. His first solo single and number one hit in the United Kingdom, Ireland, and New Zealand.
I just imagine, I don't know, I can't get my head around Pixies doing this. When you say nothing at all.
You said nothing at all. You said nothing at all. No, I'm just doing a different song.
Anyway, yeah. If everyone wants to hear the, I'm not going to play it because we've got too many clips, but if everyone wants to hear a really good Pixies parody, putting Chris Morris Pixies, it's fucking, it's that I sent you. My mother spilled a cup of tea on my knee. I said, mother, oh my God.
I would have, like I say, it was a guilty pleasure when it was released. It still is a bit now. I don't think he's a great singer. I don't know why he kind of has to really overdo some of his champagne. I don't know why it's all like a bit novelty, but yeah, really like this particular song. Must admit though, kind of when at the time when I sort of really loved it, I did think it was his song. I didn't realise that it had already been a hit, so that takes away a tiny bit.
What's the other one? It was Shari. What's that one? Shari, why does he say that? That's Tracy Chapman, isn't it?
It's all that you can say.
Sure, forgive me. Yeah, because I've listened to Tracy Chapman's album after I heard that song, and that came on. It's obviously a miles better version, the Tracy Chapman version, but
yeah, no, Chapman. I agree. Yeah, right. So your number four, we're getting right down now.
Right. So this is my number four. So, We All Stand Together, Paul McCartney, just a little bit on Wikipedia here, reached number three of the UK singles charts in 1984. This is off Wikipedia. It says, although intended purely as a children's song in the mould of the Beatles' Yellow Submarine, We All Stand Together is sometimes derided as an example of McCartney's inconsequential songwriting by his own critics. This song got absolutely fucking hammered when it came out. People held it against him for years as like the biggest sign that he totally lost it, and you know, Lennon with the brains behind the Beatles. It was like a punchline. Oh, yeah, I suppose you're like, We All Stand Together as well, don't you? That's how good he is. I think this is brilliant, and I genuinely think this is brilliant. It makes me smile. It makes me sad. I think it's a genuinely emotional piece of music. Do you know what it reminds me of? And I think it's better than, and this is really controversial, I think this is very much like Walking in the Air, but better.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from, and actually, I had both those singles when I was as little as records. And yeah, it makes me think of being little and listening to this. So I love it. I never quite got it, though, because it always felt like it should be part of a Disney soundtrack. But it's just a standalone song, isn't it? It's am I right in thinking it wasn't written for a cartoon? The cartoon was done as a video for it, but it wasn't a story about some frogs that he was asked to write a story.
No, I mean, he bought the rights to Rupert the Bear. We're after Rupert the Bear for ages. I don't know why. Well, I just want Rupert the Bear, you know. Well, he lost his fucking back catalogue and went for Rupert the Bear.
And he's
from the animated film, Rupert and the Frog Song. So I don't know which way around it was, to be completely honest. But it is, you know, it is associated with that thing. Even he's mentioned it in the past, though. Like, when he's put himself down, he said, like, well, obviously people, you know the frog chorus, which people didn't like. I went to see him in Poland a couple of years ago. And the guys who I went with, we did our ideal set list. And I had this, like, in my ideal set list. And everyone was saying, oh, yeah, very funny. Because, honestly, this is better than Yellow Submarine, All Together Now, Maxwell Silver Hammer, Your Mother Should Bastard Know. It's better than all of them. Oh, boy, the Elbador.
I hadn't heard this in years and years, but remind me, what Does he actually sing on it then, or is it?
Yeah, it's a chorus.
Isn't it? So
sing or swim.
It's like, is it like a harmony, like a
what? He sings
like
the first
barbershop quartet or something. Who actually sings it?
He sings the first bit, then a choir comes in, and then well, a frog don't sing, obviously, but there's a frog going there and boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Honestly, the violin, I've heard his classical pieces, Paul McCartney's. Shite, to be honest.
One thing is certain, we'll never give
it's in. Brilliant. Like I say, in the vein, if you take it in the vein of something like Walking in the Air, and everyone's not going to agree with me with this, but I think this is better. This hits me so much. Like, it's like proper.
But that's what it seemed to Mr. Trick. Like, and you're telling me it is tied to this Rupert thing, but it seems like if there'd been a Christmas Rupert released with this as the soundtrack, it could have been a great kid's hit. But it's almost like people seem to think it's a ridiculous piece of music. Well, yeah, but if it was just written as a kid for a kid's cartoon, why would it be anything different?
I think it transcends that, and no one else agrees, but I think it transcends the fact it's a kid's song, which some kids' songs do, you know what I mean, and become genuinely good songs. This is one of them. I think this is a fucking brilliant song.
So that's probably where I differ then. So I like the nostalgia. This reminds me of being a kid and listening to this record. If this came out now today, I'm not sure I'd be saying that's brilliant.
It's another one. Sat in car, Liam. Someone's got this on. All deadly serious face driving. I was talking to my mum a couple of weeks ago because we were obviously planning we were doing this. And I like going through some song. This was one of the ones I knew I was going to have. And she goes, oh, it makes me feel sick, that song. What? Why? I suppose it's the boom, boom, boom. You might think they're real frogs.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. It's a hard one for that. I think it's a fair choice. I think it's...
Your next.
It reminds me a bit of like Aristocats or something like that.
Yeah. I can see that. Your next is your final, I believe, Liam.
Yeah, my last one is the controversial one. I'm not going to tell you too much detail of it. Can you tell what it is yet?
It sounds nothing like him. In your TV, is it? Go on.
Yeah, here it is.
Don't you think I would leave you crying when there's room on my horse for two? Climb up here, Jack, and don't be crying. I can go just as fast with two. When we grow up, we'll both be so. And our horses will not be toys. And I wonder if we'll remember when we were two little boys.
Right, yeah. Obviously, we don't want to give the man any airtime. I love this song. My granddad was a policeman. He was quite a serious bloke. He liked a bit of Shirley Bassey. He used to like some of that. But I don't really remember him ever singing, other than that when I was really little, he used to sing this song to me sometimes. And I can never think of him singing any other songs, if I'm honest. Maybe he did, I don't know. But so I loved it. And I still love it. And I still like it as a song. I don't like it as something that makes me think of Rolf Harris. I like it as my granddad singing it. So that's why I'm putting it on the list.
Is this a Rolf original?
No, so it was. It's a much older song that somebody had released a long time, like 1900 or something like that. He did it for a BBC special, and I don't know if they tweaked the lyrics very slightly. I mean, one thing, if this were your song, so it's written by Theodore F. Morse and Edward Madden, but like you think, what else could have happened? Like this is the awful. Rolf Harris performed this song.
Yeah.
But actually, if you look on Wikipedia, on BBC Radio Blackburn in 1979, Margaret Thatcher picked it as her favourite song. So
really?
It was doomed from 1979.
We went to, where did we go? Were it Tenerife?
Tenerife and Gran Canaria we've been to.
And going back to the Irish thing again, we went to see an Irish band in one of the Irish bars. And he sang this, but he did the, I think it was it the Republican version?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, and the line where...
I know what you're going to say, yeah.
Do you think I would leave you dying when I'd stand up and lie in court?
Yeah.
And it was just about like some IRA bombers getting sent down, and this guy saying, "No, I'll." It was so bizarre. Like,
I shouted it, didn't I? When I stand up and lie in court.
Yeah, did it? I've seen him a couple of times, Rolf Harris. His best song for me is not this. It's going to be a fan day. Going to be a real fan day.
I think it's a bit ridiculous. I mean, Jake the Peg was another one of his novelty sort of songs. But, yeah.
Time to throw down sport. Time again. Yeah. Down sport.
And then he's like horrible. Down. Those are like weird noises, didn't he? man. Anyway, let's not dwell too much on it. But yeah, Guilty Pleasure is for several reasons, actually. One, because it was never cool to like Rolf Harris, and for two, because he is now convicted. Is he a paedophile or just a sex predator?
Sex affair. I don't know which one.
We do not condone Rolf Harris.
We do not. Once again, we have to say we do not condone Rolf Harris. I would be looking at you with a very, I'd be quite worried actually if I were in car. You had this on, like, it's like singing like loud and proud. Two little boys and two little toys. Remember when he did, first I knew about Rolf Harris in the sense that he did music, were Stairway to Heaven. Remember when he did that?
Yeah.
Ooh, and it makes me wonder. Ooh, and it makes him wonder. Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway.
Right, I'm out. That's my five.
Well, I'm going to end with my favourite of all these songs that we've talked about.
We're wasting precious time. Don't talk, kiss, and make it mine. The one and only reason is fun. I said, well, baby. Just begun, so don't talk, just kiss. We're beyond words and sound. Don't talk, just kiss. Let your tongue fool around.
I've mentioned these before. These lads have done some genuine, like, phenomenal pop songs. Deeply Dippy, We Are the Freds.
We sort of mention sometimes things, and it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, like we're sort of laughing at ourselves, but we both genuinely think these are brilliant, don't we? Like I think Lash and Fred are a really good band, and I know you absolutely love some. You're probably more into them than me, but I actually think they're really good.
I think they're brilliant. And before he, like, I mean, obviously now they're more probably known for talking shit on GB News or whatever the fuck they go on. Forget all that. It's a bit like the Rolf Harris thing. I'm not bothered about that. This is the follow-up to I'm Too Sexy. Don't Talk, Just Kiss. This is by Right Said Fred, by the way. Everyone thought there was going to be a one-hit wonder because it sounds like a one-hit wonder, doesn't it? I'm Too Sexy. I'm Too Sexy for My Shirt. You think, these lads are... And obviously the way they look and all this sort of stuff. But this got to number three in the UK charts. They never did have another hit in the States, but this was number... they remained a one-hit wonder in the States, but this got to number three in the UK charts. This is a fucking one of the best-written pop songs of the night is this. This is the closest any of these songs can get into my top 100 songs of all time. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Everything about it, the way he sings, I love how he goes, we're beyond words and sound. It's like a baritone voice, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, again, this is where we differ slightly, because I love him, but I do see him as slight novelty still. You seem to just think some of their stuff is just pure brilliance.
I think this, I mean, the bit on this one, which is a bit daft, is when he goes, don't talk, kiss.
There's a bit where the woman sort of really screams, but like,
just kiss me, boy.
Kiss me, boy. Yeah, but I think people sort of say, and people is just shouting, but it wasn't. There was always kind of some harmony, but this is just somebody just shouting, I think.
Search for the hero inside yourself. Right. So the person who does the backing singer for this, or the duet, whatever it is, Jocelyn Brown, she were all over the airwaves at the time because she was sampled on the Snap hit, I Got the Power. That's her.
Ah, right. Okay.
I got the power. Oh. Yeah. So the video for this, Liam, I made you watch. It's absolutely, it's such a bizarre video, this.
Yeah, I mean, this is, it's almost like an episode of Eurotrash that we covered before, isn't it? It's like contained within a music video. It's really bizarre. There's he as the video progresses seems to get more naked. So like, I reckon if it was another minute longer, he would be fully naked by the end of
it. Yeah, it's a 4-minute song, and he changes outfit three times, and every single time he changes, he's got less and less clothes on. The weirdest bit by a mile is it shows you people dancing in background. They're all on this like white background stage. And it's just like normal people dancing and stuff. The Freds are playing along and Cheese there, Jocelyn Brown. Someone brings a baby out and starts like waving baby around. And then the best bit is there's like there's a scene where he's singing and it just like in corner, like a little screenshot of that baby's in corner. Like I don't get what that's got to do with this.
We've never mentioned this before. On the podcast, though, we've just talked about it before. We've definitely discussed this before because there's loads of like suggestive dancing. He's gyrating.
He's doing winks to camera and like
people licking the lip. All this sort of suggestive stuff, and then there's a baby there. It's almost like I just can't explain who thought that was a good idea. And then there's one bit where there's a woman holding a baby, which seems to be crying most of the times you see it. It's not smiling.
Yeah.
And while she's holding the baby in this sort of group shot, there's a bloke sort of grinding on this woman from behind, like gyrating his hips.
Funnily enough, the Freds would be having a lot to say about this video, wouldn't they? If it came out now, they'd be going, you see what this is all about now? It's a hidden message about sexuality, about, you know, they're trying to get your kids into all sorts. But yeah, but look, this, I will fucking defend this band till the day I die in terms of the music.
I will say as well, by the way, sorry, just to jump in, but I think, I don't know if it was just because the bald heads, completely shaved heads. I always assumed they were a lot older than they are. Like when you look back to this video, quite young in it. I mean, he's quite a cool looking guy, isn't he?
He doesn't look like a pop star. I think neither of them look like pop stars. Like they're quite muscly. They're obviously gym lads. You know what I mean? Bald heads. I don't know why he's like shaved. So I'm gonna look. He's 70 now. So what we're talking here? 30 years ago. Yeah. So he'd have been in his 56. No, hang on a minute. What are we on today? I'm talking about when this come out. 1992. So it'd have been 32 at this point.
Yeah, I think in my head I thought they were older than that at the time. But yeah, I don't know. I think it is good. The video's odd. The song's good. The melody's great. I think it's a bit, as a lot of pop songs are, this is not particularly dig at them. It's a bit repetitive. It just kind of latches onto Don't Talk, Just Kiss, and it just says that an awful lot.
No, I disagree. I think the verses are maybe the best bit. Aha, we're wasting precious time. Don't talk, kiss.
Maybe I don't know. Perhaps it's just the ending, because you asked me to watch the video. Perhaps it's just one of them where, as it ends, the last minute and a half is just let your tongue fall around.
He sings so posh. Brilliant band. Talked about it before, and I wanted to end on it. So that's us, Liam. That's the Guilty Pleasures. Living with me.
So that was Guilty Pleasures. Let us know yours. We accept they're very subjective, so you might have some that actually we think, why on earth do you think that's a guilty pleasure? That's a great song. But yeah, if you've got any ideas, send them in.
Next week, what, Liam, before we go, should we behind the curtain, the ones that we were going to have, that you, there was some I sent to you and said, you know, is this shit enough, basically? And you said no. So I were going to have, what we're going to have, Letter from America by the Proclaimers. You said no.
Well, I think they've had a bit of a sort of resurgence, haven't they?
Letter from America. We're going to have The Best That You Can Do Is Fall In Love. But that is too good.
Yeah.
Toto, Africa, you know. Yeah, there were some you had as well, weren't there?
Skater Boy, Avril Lavigne. I mean, there's loads of songs that I like that would probably be on your guilty pleasures list that you'd have to explain, but it's... I don't know. I'm a bit more sort of flexible in what I care if people think I like or not. I think you are now, to be fair. But
you've got no morals. I've said this before. No morals. But we built this city. We were both going to have that at one point, weren't we? We built this city on rock and roll, but too good.
The bit too that good. I love in that, the best bit in it. While Cody plays the mamba, listen to the radio. Brilliant.
Brilliant. So superb. So thank you for everyone who listened to that. Send us in your guilty pleasures. We're going to be doing feedback, comment, shit episode next.
The final bonus one, rather than it having a subject, we've got some decent stuff people have sent in, some comments worth reading. So we're going to finish the series on a listener feedback, and then we'll be getting ready for. Should we make the announcement in the final episode of what
make
the next series?
In the final episode of the series, in the bonus, yeah.
You don't want to put it out there?
Nah. Right. Get them tuning in. Get all five of them to tune in again.
You said that in a Scottish accent. Did you do that accidentally?
Yeah, I didn't, what did I say?
Get them tuning in.
Limmy. I don't know. I didn't mean to do it. Ah, come on, man.
Well, yeah, get tuned in.
Tune it in. Living with
Maida. If anyone wants to get in touch with us, send us anything, find us on Twitter at livingwithmaid1, or you can send us an email at livingwithmaidly@outlook.com. Living